Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Dungeon Junkies presents Fall of Osha, Episode 11, The Past.
I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Kerry.
Guys, welcome back to another exciting episode of Dungeons and Junkies. We know it's going to be exciting because we're heading back to the island, which means all aboard the trauma train with the conductor. Oh, hello, Kerry.
Welcome back to the trauma train, I guess, as it is. But no, really. Hi, I'm Kerry, and I will be your DM for this evening. And welcome back to another episode of the campaign that I have now dubbed The Fall of Osha. Is it the most exciting title? No, not particularly. But what can you do? Anyway, before I get back into a bit of a recap, let's go around the table, and we can start today with Matt.
I'm Matt, and I'm playing Wervex, the still traumatized chef witch. Who is starting to come round from the trauma she inflicted on a village accidentally, mainly by realizing that she was able to pry gunk out of someone's gills and actually did less damage to the person who started to do it themselves, Oberyn.
I mean, that was a fairly good segue, actually. Chad.
Hello, I am Chad. And now, Oberyn, as I play today, the High Elf Simic Hybrid, who is a Spore Druid. I also have Ned, my undead companion. And also now, I've been trying to be nicer to Moira than everyone else, but guess what? Bitch just made the list.
I lost the words.
I was going to say, Caitlin is off mic and just laughing their head off.
Okay, well, they're still laughing. Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex, and I am playing Charlie, the half-elf monk, who's about to be, well, very burnt in a minute.
Well, we shall see. And last but not least, Caitlin.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I play Shard Corinth, the drow elf, bard warlock thing that is honestly a glorified babysitter that doesn't get paid and is traumatized. And I'm running on 3 hours sleep. Yay. More chaos.
Isn't chaos just part of everything at the moment? Or
isn't
always?
Chaos just... I had a metaphor and my brain went no.
Relatable. Okay, so as a quick recap for those who have been following along, I guess. After fighting for a blizzard, you all came across a trio of seemingly abandoned cabins, which you got to explore and spend a probably somewhat unpleasant night in. And after Charlie had a nice sealing adventure, Shard went on a very odd scavenger hunt of sorts. Moira showed off her knife skills. Oberyn learned he can skinwalk animal companions now. Marmalade talked of having opposable thumbs, and Ned left half his face on the window. You all went through a forest, and after that came across the graveyard and a shrine to a strange bird god, which I believe Oberyn called stupid, and it gave him a nosebleed in return, and then carried on your way. Shard got to go get nice and cozy with a skeleton in a pit, until you find your way to the abandoned military base. And as of the end of last time, Oberyn and Ned found a king's ransom in rations, and Ned found a hat. Marmalade is somewhere. Shard and Moira did their BuzzFeed Unsolved act, and Charlie found a laboratory. And then, after accidentally terrorizing something in the crematorium, found herself locked in a retort. But now, before we start, one quick question. Shard.
Yes.
You said you were going to free the spirits in the room. Did you take the rosary off the door? That was trapping them in there. Okay. That's all I need to know.
I said I would.
You're an elf of your word.
Screamed in trauma.
Screams in fear.
After Shard.
I've taught you to.
I've learned from the best, what can I say? After Shard took the rosary off the door, it took a few seconds for anything to happen. But then, almost a wave went through the base. It doesn't hurt, but Oberyn and Ned felt it all the way over in the galley. Even Charlie caught wind of it in the retort. And Oberyn, I assume you and Ned are still in the galley at this point.
Yes, we found our rations. I've piled them onto Ned's arms. And at this point, we would probably be... I'd make one more cursory glance of the kitchen to make sure there was nothing else of use that I could find in here.
Roll me a quick investigation check.
No, Chad should probably get out dice. That would probably help this whole situation of playing D&D, right?
Just a little.
Need those every once in a while. Yeah! Investigation, you say?
Yes.
That is a massive 13.
Okay. You don't find anything else as you're glancing around the room. But then, the door suddenly pushes open. And a group of roughly around 9 people, all wearing military uniforms, walk in. They seem to look right through you, though. And they just carry on talking and laughing, looking through the cupboards.
At this point, I put my hands up, and I'm gonna look at them all, and say, hello?
They don't seem to acknowledge you at all. Ned shuffles a little closer to you.
Is there anything on, like, any of the tables? Like, is there, like, a salt shaker, a rock, any kind of, like, debris?
One of them puts a plate on the table and then goes back, looking through the cupboards.
What do I have in mind? I'm gonna take one of my gold coins out of my pocket, and I'm just gonna huck it at one of these soldiers, the farthest one away from me. Gold means nothing to me.
It bounces off the back of the soldier's head, and they pause for a moment, but then it's to bend down to tie their shoelace. They realized it was undone.
Okay, Ned, I don't know what the fuck is happening right here, but we are going to make our way slowly and quietly. Don't touch them. Out of this room. And I'm going to begin to then, like, creep along the wall towards so I can get by a door. Like, I don't want to touch. I was hoping they were incorporeal, so that's why I threw the coin at them. But obviously they have some substance, so.
Ned obediently follows you. When you get out into the hallway, there are people wandering around. Again, all in military uniforms, and none of them acknowledging you.
What in the fuck did those idiots do? Fuck. All right, Ned. This is not going to be easy for your shambling ass, I know, but we're going to stay close to the wall and don't drop any of those fucking rations, I swear to God. And we are going to move our way, and then I'm going to point down the hallway, not the way we came from, because I'm still in that, like, little bit of a, like, why, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to point down the other side of the Y that we haven't gone down yet. I'm going to go, all right, we're going to head this way, because I can only assume that they have found something deeper in here that is causing this. So be on your guard, Ned. Then I'm very Metal Gear Solid style against the wall. I'm going to start creeping.
Down this corridor, there's a right turn, which leads to yet another dead end, and a door on the left just before the turn.
Well, Ned, usually I'd say we would go mess with what I assume is another fake wall, but we clearly don't have time for that right now. I would like to try and go into this door.
Okay. The door opens easily. It's not locked. And you find yourself in... It's a smallish room. It's about maybe 10 foot long, 8 foot wide. and the walls are just lined with firearms.
Well, this is an interesting development. I would like to make an investigation check to see if there's any firearms that I would like to take.
Okay. Roll me an investigation then.
Oh, that fell off. That is a 10.
These are mostly shotguns, so it's kind of your choice if there's any you want to take.
Actually, I don't want any of the actual weaponry. Is there any, like, gunpowder or ammo in here? I'll roll a second investigation check if I need to.
Okay, if you want to do that, quickly, we're going to pop over to the two out in the corridor. There are people in your corridor, too. Again, none of them are acknowledging your existence. But, Shard, after you took the rosary off the door, you felt something grab you around the wrist just for a moment. And when you look again, there's a small, almost invisible band around it.
Looking at my wrist.
Shard, you alright?
I think they gave me something.
What did that band look like?
Very hard to see. It's solid, but it is an almost invisible band just around Shard's wrist, and it feels weightless.
I kind of look around and I'm like, thank you.
Do you think it's like a connection sort of thing?
I don't know. I'm guessing all these people walking around are the spirits I just let out, so. If they can't access, if they can't, like, recognize we're here, then
like,
how they mean us any harm. They're just carrying out their last moments.
Really. Like, two planes of existence existing at the same time, but not interacting with each other sort of thing. Mm.
Right.
I like that.
What have you been smoking?
Well, to be fair, I'm trying to make sense of this.
Yeah, but you're just talking in, like, theoretical physics, and Shard's over there, like, I barely know 2 plus 2, for fuck's sake.
You're right, it was a gift from the spirit you freed. And whilst Shard is wearing it, you gain the following benefits. Your dark vision now extends up to 300 feet. You get 30 feet of magical dark vision on top of that. In darkness, that's including caves, you can roll Perception, Insight, Investigation, and Stealth at advantage. In caves specifically, you get an extra 10 foot of speed and you can ignore difficult terrain. And your spells have an extra 10 foot of range.
Ooh.
I write yay spoopy gift bracelet in my notes. See, this is why you be nice to people, whether they're alive or dead.
Oh, there's two more little things on the end of that.
Ooh.
Once per long rest, and you can swap it between each rest, you can have one extra warlock spell slot or one extra use of bardic inspiration. And once per battle, if you roll a 19 or a 20, you use it for critical damage.
Oh, like Hexblade, nice.
Back to Oberyn's investigation check.
I got an 18 this time.
Okay. You find in one of the little cabinets a small box of gunpowder and seven... Well, it's full of bullets. I'm not sure if they'd be any use to you. There's 7 bullets in another little box.
I'll take both. I would like to both collect the gunpowder and the bullets. And I'm going to look at Ned. Ned, I don't know really why I talk to you, because it's just talking to myself. I think it makes me feel better, but this will help us if we have to, you know, get through one of those walls. So, here. I'm going to stack it on top of the other things I already have Ned carrying.
At that moment, you realize that Ned is no longer undead. He's somehow reverted to his human appearance and is staring at you with wide, terrified eyes.
Well, Ned, this is probably awkward for you.
How did I get here?
Calm, and I will immediately use calm emotions. Oh, wait. No, I'll use Charm Person. Screw it. I'm going to go straight to it. I'm going to cast Charm Person on him.
Okay. That's a wisdom save, isn't it?
That is a wisdom saving throw. And it's a 16.
That is a flat 7.
Ned. I can call you Ned, right?
Yes.
It's all okay. There's nothing to worry about. You passed out in the tank. I resuscitated you. You're fine. We're just on a little mission right now.
Oh, okay. Yes, that makes sense. Thank you for saving me.
Oh, not a problem at all, Ned. Not a problem at all. Okay, well, Ned, we're in a little bit of shit right now. So what I'm going to say is just stay quiet for now and don't touch anything and just follow my lead.
He tries to put one of his own hands over his mouth to keep himself shush.
And don't drop any of the things that you're holding either. Those are very important.
Can I put them in my bag?
Of course, Ned. Of course.
Ned will put all the things in his bag.
Oberyn thinks to himself, how did I forget he had a fucking bag? This looks really bad on me once he goes back to dead. That was all inner monologue. Yes, didn't say that out loud. With that, though, I would then, I guess I'm going to slowly open the armory door, and I'm assuming there's just soldiers milling about.
Pretty much.
Do I see any of them going, like, to a weird spot? Like, there's so many dead ends in this place. Like, are any of the soldiers, like, heading towards, like, any of the dead ends that I know where they're around?
One of them is going towards the dead end, but they're just carrying boxes that they appear to be stacking.
All right. All right, Ned. We're going to go back and try and find the rest of the group that we are with. So, okay. Keep quiet and just follow me. Stay close to the walls. It seems to be the safest.
On your way back, Ned will try his absolute best to mirror everything you do.
Once again, against the wall, solid snake style.
We're just going to quickly cut over to Charlie, who's, I'm going to guess, probably not that happy. You're in a space. It's 8 foot long by about 3.5 foot wide and 3 foot tall. It's pretty cramped and it's dark. Everything feels a bit gritty when you touch it.
Oh, well, this is fun.
You can hear people moving about on the other side of the door, though.
Oh, sorry, is May still holding me?
No, nothing's holding you now. We're just in the retort and the door is closed.
What, like, jammed shut, is it?
Pretty much. Someone's closed it from the other side.
This place is quite worn out, isn't it?
Fairly.
So if I hit the door hard enough, would it crack open?
Okay. How are you intending to... Are you just going to try and kick it, or give it several rounds of punches, or...?
Several rounds of whatever I have available, a fist, that sort of thing.
Okay. Roll me an attack roll at disadvantage, because you are in an oddly cramped space.
Okay, my lowest was a 15, so that's not too bad. So, okay. So fist plus 8 equals 23?
Okay.
15 plus 8. Yeah, that's 23.
Yeah, I mean, to hit the door, you basically just have to beat a 1, since it's right in front of you. I'm assuming Charlie has to awkwardly Superman pose lying on her stomach to actually get her arms up to hit it.
Yeah, and then if it doesn't go, I try my feet, because my feet are a bit easier and I can put a bit more force into my feet.
Okay. Roll me damage for the 23.
Max roll. Edward will still bless my dice. 8 plus 5 is 13.
Okay. Shakes even more dust and grit from what is essentially at the ceiling. And you think you may have dented it, but it's still not open.
I hit it again.
Want me to hit it again?
10.
Okay. Again, all you have to do is beat a 1 to hit the door. Since it's not that hard to see.
10 damage.
Okay. You've made the dent in it even bigger, and the door seems to be kind of bending outwards a bit now, but it remains shut. Let's see. Can you make me a perception check?
That is a 13.
Is it just you, or is it starting to feel hot in there?
Okay, I spin around and use Breath of the Dragon to do acid breath on the door. Try and melt the door.
It is resistant to acid. So, half damage.
Okay, that's still 2d8.
You can probably gather from what dragged you in there that they've been designed not to be broken open so easily.
I'll fucking break that open easily in a minute. Let's see, 10 damage, so to 5, rounded down to 5.
Okay.
My evil baby bird is spreading its wings.
I'm going to need you to make me a con save now.
That is only a 12.
Okay, in that case, you take 6 points of fire damage as, yes, it is definitely starting to heat up in here at quite an alarming rate.
Don't even feel it. No, I just keep kicking the fuck out the door, because it bends every time I've kicked it so far, so I just keep kicking it.
Again, roll me to attack.
Can I flurry of blows? Can I just use all my attacks? So I'm just going to use all 5 of my attacks. The first one is a 13. So okay. That is 7 plus 5, 12 damage. Second hit is 12 again.
Okay.
9 damage. Third hit is a 18 to hit. And that's 9 damage.
Okay.
Fourth is a dirty 20.
Okay.
And that is a 6 damage. And then the last one is a 19 to hit. And 10 damage.
Okay, the door is on its way. Each hit pushes you closer and closer to getting out. Can I get you to make me both a con save and a strength save now? Whatever dragged you in there can sense that you're trying to escape, and it doesn't want you to get out so easily.
The strength save is a 24, and okay. The con save is a plus 7.
Was it a 7 for the con save, did you say?
Yeah, and a 24 for the strength.
Okay. You manage not to be dragged further into the back, but you will take 17 points of fire damage.
Yeah, I'll live. I basically just repeat this, just constantly kicking the fuck out the door until it goes. Okay.
Roll me one more attack and see what you get.
Disadvantage?
I'll let you have this one normally. As the thing dragged you back and you're facing the right way to kick it properly.
18.
Yeah.
13 points of damage.
Okay. The door flies open as you kick it one last time. So there are people in the room, but they don't seem to notice that one of the doors has just been kicked open.
Hello?
And as you, I assume you scramble out of there as quickly as possible.
Yeah, that's what I do want. I'm just confused that they don't really seem to notice that. And I'm just like, hello?
You also notice the door has no damage on it. And the retort is cold and silent.
Fucking ghosts.
But the people carry on. They're loading a coffin into the one next to you.
Alright, I'm going to leave the room.
Okay. You find yourself at the long corridor again.
Just to clarify, it was 17 damage, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm going to try the other door that I didn't do. There's two dungeons. One was a retort, and I don't know what the other one was because I haven't tried it yet.
Okay. It's just a wooden door. It's labeled storeroom.
Okay, no. I mean, something's bound to want to kill me again, but who knows.
For being a room labeled storeroom, it's actually just another corridor that goes round a corner at the end.
I'll do the Resident Evil thing and follow it, because who knows what will be back here.
As you go around and follow it, it leads to, you guessed it, another corridor that goes straight up to a dead end. But there are two doors, both on your left. One about 10 feet in front of you, and the other one towards the end.
I'll try the closest one first.
Okay. You're in what's now dubbed as the storeroom. But what do they store in here? It's lined with small cells, each with numbers written above the doors.
I'll just like poke my head in, see if there's anything in the cell.
Roll me investigation.
That's a bit of a roll.
19.
Okay. In the cell you look at, on the floor, brushed right back into the corner, so it's easy to miss, is what looks like the number ripped off of a military uniform.
Okay, fair enough. Any number in particular?
It's 1442.
Alright. And I'm going, that's enough for me in this room. And I'm going to go down and check the last one.
It's lined, yet with more cells, with numbers written outside each one.
No people or anything? Just numbers?
Just numbers.
Alright. Right, I'm going to head back then.
Okay. Back down the corridor. And out of the storeroom, I assume.
Yeah, back into the room with the film.
The room with the film is almost on the other side of the building at this point. So you'd have to go past the room where Charlie was grabbed by a ghost. And where, unless they've moved, Shard and Moira are still standing outside.
Indeed.
So whilst... rage in, hey Charlie, can you get this thing working for me? Charlie, fucks off.
So... yeah, okay. Whilst Charlie's navigating their way back to the spooky ghost room, what are Shard and Moira doing?
Moira had learned not better than to just... over the last few adventures that they've been on together, Moira has learned to not just go storming in, and this time asks, Shard, is any of these that you can see familiar? I know that you didn't have a very good relationship with the military, but do you recognize any of these soldiers that you can see?
Is the uniform any of them wearing familiar, like battalion wise?
Yes. They all wear the same type of uniform.
Hate you. Is it Corey's battalion?
Roll me a wisdom check quickly.
Let's see how wise I am.
It's more, were you ever told Corey's number?
16.
Funnily enough, they did their absolute best to not tell you Corey's number. But the uniform, it's never changed.
And it's the uniform he was wearing when he was dead. So.
Yes.
Oh, fun sentences. Yeah, I recognize this, Moira.
I'm not trying to make you... I know your feelings, I just...
It's his battalion. Yeah, they were supposed to be dead.
And they're not noticing us, so...
Yeah, they're spirits, but...
Can we use this to our advantage?
What do you mean?
I'm thinking, can we?
What? Why would we... What do you mean, use it?
Okay, this is a running theory in my head, and do not hate me for this.
I might.
They might be able to provide an answer about
Moira's trying not to say the last word because Moira's worried that she may get slapped in the face.
Josh is staring at you down, waiting for you to say it.
Moira's not going to say it. Moira knows. Moira can see the look on Shard's face. You know what I mean.
He wouldn't have enlisted. They wouldn't have enlisted him by the name he chose. They would have gone with his birth name.
Right.
As much as his, parents got torn apart in a cave. That was a fun day. Adoption.
Big Shard, if I can help, I will. Okay.
Yeah, Moira, I know. I'm very much trying not to think about the fact that my son could have been locked away and experimented on, like Oberyn and his family. And I've thought him dead for several decades.
I know.
I don't see him here.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, his unit got sent to a village to deal with, an uprising. And they basically sent in his unit as a distraction so the nobles that were visiting the village could get out.
Do you know which village it was?
I don't think the village exists anymore.
I was only wondering because we may be able to find some paperwork which may provide some answers.
I honestly don't know right now.
Okay. I do feel like we did some good, though, by letting them spirits free.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be trapped in that room.
Who wants to be trapped anywhere?
I mean, I'm quite fond of enclosed spaces.
But you like caves, and there's nothing wrong with that, of course. I've grown quite fond of you, Shard.
By this point, Charlie has probably arrived, along with Oberyn and Ned creeping round the walls, I still assume.
You're just creeping the entire way. And we're just stood there like,
what in the fuck did you guys do?
Hey, first of all, not me for a change.
What happened to Ned?
Yeah, where's his arrow gone?
Ned, you okay?
For the benefit of the tape, shut up, Jet.
Shh, this is nothing. Ned's fine. Remember, we rescued him. He's here assisting us, as he has been for the time since we saved him from the tank.
Yes, when you saved him from the tank.
Odd raises an eyebrow because a drow elf in a group with a military person. Yeah, sure, that's gonna work.
Ned is our friend.
But is he a racist?
At the moment, Ned's kind of looking too much at Oberyn, like Oberyn as a kind of Superman, to notice and really think about the fact there is a drow elf among this group.
Look, these are just spirits. They can't hurt you. They have no ill intention against you.
Yes, that's what they all say before the creepy shit takes them and no one ever sees them again.
I released them from this hell they were in the room back there where they were literally compressed into crates, rotting away. So excuse me for taking pity on lots of dead soldiers.
Shard, I understand why you did that and I respect it greatly. My concerns are, while I've been exploring the place, there's been many false walls and many bits of dread behind said walls. So my concern, I guess, isn't with a motion to the soldiers that are just going about their business and also give a quick kind of nod back towards Ned. The military spirits about, my concern is with what else you may have let out by releasing them.
Do you know who all of these lot are?
Would I recognize these insignias or uniforms with the studies I've done?
Roll me a history check quickly.
Hey. It's terrible. That is only a 9.
From what you can remember, the information about the island's military that was available to the public has always been very generic. But they seem to fit, what little you've been told.
Honestly, Shard, I never concern myself with the, you know, no offense to them or anyone who was part of it, but the lower level grunts of the military. My focus has always been trying to take them down, to cut up the head off the snake, but I do recognize these as, I guess, what would fit as the island's military.
Most of these lots seem to be from Corey's battalion. The ones that are all dead and were sent in as... that supposedly all died on the field of battle. So clearly there's... like, obviously, yes, there's dread here and there's more going on and probably something's going to try and kill us. But the spirits weren't attacking Moira and I. They were trying to communicate more than anything.
It was odd.
Grabbed my wrist, but like they didn't try and kill me. Meanwhile, Charlie's just there.
Charlie's just there, covered in ash. Like, I'm here too.
I must admit that I have not had any issues so far, but, and I will give a sideways glance over to Charlie. I don't think Charlie probably chose to be covered in ash. I'll sniff the air and slightly singed.
No one just chose to turn me into their Sunday roast. Failed, but...
Did you piss it off?
No.
What did you do in the moments leading up to it?
I heard a noise and I went to investigate.
Did you investigate it?
By looking inside.
What did you look inside and how did you do that?
Tort. Just use my
what?
Hand. There was scratching in there.
Scratching in a tort, okay.
So you climbed inside it?
No, I got dragged inside.
How did you see inside? You don't have as good dark vision as I do.
By making my hand glow. And I just made my hand glow.
So you lit your hand on fire towards a spirit that probably died to fire.
Well, I mean, the spirits were locked in that room earlier.
You didn't know they were quarantined to that room.
Right, I'm gonna see if I can get that thing working. And I'll go back.
We found a film projector with a bunch of like records from different times that might be useful.
Yeah, I used to mess around with them, so see if I can get it working.
Don't stick your hand into anything whilst on fire.
Yes, Mother.
Wait. We are going to, at this point, stay here and watch home movies? I'm still voting. Ned and I collected a fair amount of rations. I vote that, and Ned votes as well. Right, Ned? But raise your hand.
Yeah. He raises
his
hand.
Ned and I both vote that we get the fuck out of here.
Oberyn, do you honestly think I'm going to follow you to the ends of the earth to hunt down your scientist if I don't take the opportunity to investigate my son? You gave me your oath, I gave you mine. Fucking deal with this.
My word is my bond. You see, Oberyn isn't happy, but just shuts his mouth at this moment.
Charlie, can you get that working?
Yeah, I'll go,
So, is Charlie heading back towards the video projector room alone, or are you all going? Or splitting up in different ways?
Well, we'll go with Charlie. Before she goes, she says, if you need anything, just shout. I will be more than happy to come running, okay?
Okay.
Moira turns and follows the ash-covered monk.
Charlie's making little footprints everywhere she walks.
Where's Marmalade?
Marmalade disappeared when you all walked into the building.
I haven't seen Marmalade since we got here.
They'll turn up.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Sean all right, Ned. Charlie rolls her eyes and is probably going to follow some of these soldiers.
Okay. First off, let's follow Charlie and Moira down towards the video projector room. Probably have to weave in and out of the soldiers a bit. If you try walking through them, you can, but it is something of an effort. Like, they don't want to be walked through.
Almost like a difficult terrain, as it were.
As such, yeah. They feel solid when you touch them, but if, with enough force, you can go through them.
Okay. That's a weird feeling.
Well, I mean, normally, respectfully, you walk around something, not try to walk through it.
To be fair, I went through part. I was trying to like dodge two at the same time, and I went through part of one. It just feels weird.
Moira now has two clammy spots on her arms where the soldiers brushed them.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid them, and there's not a room in this corridor to avoid them properly. I'm sorry. So, do you know how make those areas work? Because you identified it when we were back in that cabin. Do you know how to make it work?
No, I didn't say I knew how to make it work, but I knew what it was.
Right. Okay. Well, between the two of us, we should be able to get that thing working.
We can probably make a film projector work.
We need to connect a power source to it. I don't think that the spells I've got will create the right sort of energy.
I do have a little idea that might work.
Yeah.
Let's just get back there and find out.
Okay.
As you get closer to room, there is a light coming from underneath the door this time.
I swear to God, there's another ghost.
Hold on.
Kick open the door.
You kick open the door.
Yeah.
Roll me an attack roll.
I sort of prepared to kick the door before Moira could say, hold on. 18.
The door snaps with an echo that can be heard from quite far away in the building.
I jump in to attack whatever is there.
Charlie ends up attacking a desk and looks very foolish.
Are you done?
Mm-hmm. Right. Make yourself useful.
Okay. Moira pulls some cables over.
While Moira's doing that, does anything seem like off with the projector or?
No. It's got a film loaded up. It's oddly warm to the touch. But otherwise it seems normal.
Alright, when Moira brings me the cables, can I try using my lightning hands just to run a small amount of electricity through them?
Okay, Roll me the damage you'd normally roll for that.
That's a d8.
Try not to overload it.
There's a 2, so plus 5 is 7.
Okay. You don't overload it at all. Actually, your idea was quite clever. The projector springs into life and starts projecting a film onto the wall. The lights in the room also turn on. This room now has functional electricity.
Yeah, I just go, ta-da. Holding the two cables in my hands, there's little sparks of lightning that are coming off of them.
Okay, hold that. I now start casting message. To Shard. Boom, boom, boom. Hoping that it actually isn't further than 120 feet away. I suspect it is.
I think they're a little out of message range, but we've never really used the spell the way it should, so they could probably receive it.
Shard leaves you on red. Shard is busy right now and will come join you once everything's up and running properly.
Okay, to let you know, Charlie is basically turning himself into the generator, so don't be too long.
Shard just sends a look at the goddamn tape things.
Okay, Moira sits down and takes out some of the snacks that she prepared and is now beginning to eat while watching the video. Hold it, Charlie, it's fine.
Moira and Charlie enjoy home movies, but what is Shard doing in that time?
I mean, considering all these people are from Corey's platoon, she's obviously wandering around desperately trying to... Not she. Words! With English! they're wandering around trying to see if any of them look remotely like Corey. Because even if they see his spirit, that way they know he's dead and not locked up somewhere.
Let's see.
I'm just wandering through by myself like an idiot, but no.
Roll me an investigation check.
Wow, the one character I have that actually has investigation. Thank God for Bard.
Owie.
That is 23.
Okay. Through following various spirits around, you haven't really been paying attention to where you're going, and you find yourself outside a room labelled Archive.
Promising, I say to myself. Still here. Gotta try the door gently because I'm not a maniac.
It opens easily. And very quietly, too.
Hello?
There's no soldiers in this room, but there is a fire ganassi who starts at the door being open. Okay, please don't freak out.
Are you a ghost or are you real?
I'm real.
Hey.
How do I explain this? They're pulling poses whilst trying to figure out how to explain it.
Hi, I'm Shard.
I'm Kendra. You probably know me as Marmalade.
Good for you. Suppose where you wandered off to.
It's been a long time since I've been like this and had funds. It's kind of why I know what funds are.
When that ripple went through the base.
Around that time.
Huh.
I honestly never thought I'd see my own face again. You might notice that they were looking in a mirror whilst they were in here.
Yeah, I released the trapped spirits in one of the rooms and it's made Ned alive again. And I guess turned you back?
Ooh, that must have been awkward.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how Oberyn's keeping the charade up, but Moira almost blew it by asking about the arrow through his neck. It's no longer there.
Makes sense. I found out recently that fire ganassis don't have to be bright red. They can be like charcoal colour with fire hair, and I like that one. Still wearing a collar style necklace though.
I mean, this is strange, but it's not the weirdest thing I've seen, so...
No, I've noticed the people walking around don't seem to acknowledge anything or anyone.
Their spirits. So they're just carrying on as if
that makes sense.
Reliving their day.
Hmm. I assume you're looking for something in particular, given you're in here.
Well, I was just examining all the spirits. I recognize the battalion they're all from, so I wanted to see if I could look up a particular soldier.
Hmm. Roll me a quick investigation check.
17.
Okay. There are several file cabinets, all helpfully labelled in alphabetical order.
Okay. They wouldn't have put him under Corey, because that's the same as my last name, and they wouldn't acknowledge his existence as a child of a freaking drow elf. Maybe. Corey Corinth. Yeah, that's the name. Guess. Do you mind looking in here for a Corey Corinth? And I'm going to check over here for a different name.
Okay. Marmalade, or Kendra, as her actual name is, tries to open the cabinet, but it is locked.
That's fine. That's what I have opening things for. Can I just use heat metal and warp the lock a little bit?
I'm going to say yes, but also roll me a sleight of hand to make sure you don't heat too much.
That's fair. God, I have dex. 17.
Okay. The lock buckles and gives way, and the first few files are smouldered, but luckily that's the L section.
Yeah. So I'd send my
Do you want me to call you Marmalade, or do you want me
to call it's probably easier. I don't mind. I'm used to Marmalade now.
Alright, I'll call you Marmalade for now, but you know, if you want to be called Kendra, just tell me and I'll switch.
I'm not sure how long I'll be like this for, so it's probably easier not to get used to anything else.
It might fade once we get outside. So.
That's what I'm expecting.
Hey, it's possible now, though.
Just a bit awkward, remembering I rode around in one of your comrades' coats.
Honestly, Oberyn's weird enough.
Marmalade gets to work searching for a file.
I'm gonna look for Jackson Molan.
Okay.
Is Corey's real name.
Roll me investigation again. Let's see which one it's under.
Ah! I'm attacked by one of those. 19.
You find it.
I thought he'd be under that name.
It's a file. It's got a little red band over the top of it. But so do quite a lot of the files in this drawer.
I'm gonna take the file out and look at it and try not to cry.
Inside the file, of course, there's a sheet of Corey's basic information. It's all under his birth name. There's a photo of the day he was essentially taken.
Enlisted fucking bullshit.
And although everybody for their photos was told to smile, and you can see the fear in his eyes in the picture. There are several sheets all written in what seems to be medical shorthand. There's a date of birth, but the date of death has been left blank.
Oh, if they've turned him into some fucking undead thing, I'm going to raise this island to the ground! Is the medical shorthand dated? Like, does it have, like, different dated entries?
Let's see. The newest entry was from less than 2 years ago.
And he's been... Okay. Cool. Fine. Yep.
Is it all okay? I mean, I know it's not okay. I know none of this is okay, but...
It's more information than I had before, but, you know, it's not great. Are there any different coloured bands in the files in the drawer I'm looking at?
Well, like I said, there's a lot of red. There's a few marked in green. And some in blue.
Can I take one green and one blue and just kind of compare?
Yeah.
I'm curious what the difference is.
In the green one is... Let's see. Is some dwarven couple's child. And again, there's the photo, the sheet with the information. Their date of death is filled in. And the blue one seems to be missing most of the vital information. There's a photo and pages of medical shorthand. A lot more pages of medical shorthand this time. This one has a photo clipped to the back of the folder as well. And you're not sure what you're looking at for a moment. Because this photo, for some unspecified reason, is in black and white. And it takes a while to figure out what it is, and it's what very little remained of this person, you'd assume. It's very visceral, the photo.
Is there the date of death there?
The main sheet is missing, but there are two dates on the photo. About 30 years apart.
Okay, I'm gonna take all three files.
Okay.
I'll stick the blue and the green one in my bag and just clutch Corey's onto my chest. And I'm gonna go find the others. Not really caring that I'm walking through ghosts.
Marmalade will probably follow you. And Oberyn, what have you been doing in this time?
So I didn't follow either. I stayed in the, like, where we were meeting for a second. And I look at Ned, who's back alive, and I go, Ned.
Yes?
Quick question.
Of course.
You owe your life to me, obviously, after I saved you.
I mean, yes, of course.
So my question is, Ned, where were you stationed?
Stationed?
Yes, you clearly, you know, are part of the military here on the island.
Well, we move our camp around quite a lot. Because I'm one of those who've been sent out on... We were told it was a special mission, but I guess I would have died on this one if you hadn't come along. But our main base is beyond the border. But as I said, we tend to move around.
Yes, you definitely would have died if not for I, as the rest of your battalion is no longer with us.
It's terrible to hear.
Is it though, Ned? Is it?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
You know what you've done, Ned. Don't act like you're free and clear right now. I might have saved your life, but you were a tank commander here on the island.
Ned turns an interesting shade of red as he realizes he's been caught out. Most of us had no choice in what we do.
That's
possibly hard for you to believe, but most of us were taken from our families by force.
Ned, cards on the table here, bud. And at this moment, even if I tell you, it's not going to really do much. You're dead, bud.
What?
I didn't save you, Ned. You attempted to kill me and my friends, and in response, I killed you. And then in further response, because you truly, truly disgraced and annoyed me, I've brought you back to help me and my friends out.
Wait. You killed me. And then you brought me back.
Oh, yes.
Ned has to lean against the wall for just a moment.
I thought about continuing to lie to you, but honestly, I don't know how long this is going to last for you. So I thought, well, you have these moments, you might as well live them in truth.
Any and all admiration he had in his eyes just a few minutes ago is completely evaporated. And now he's looking at Oberyn with that same expression of fear as he first did when he was restored, as it were.
Reverence is more important than admiration. I think your military probably have taught you that.
I don't know what to think anymore.
That's fine. Just keep following along.
So when this is over, are you going to kill me again?
If I must.
Ned goes into a silence and doesn't ask any more questions. So aside from terrorizing Ned, did you do anything else when the others wandered off?
As Ned has fallen completely silent, I will give him one last... I will give you one last thing. For there is a part of me that does feel bad for having to drop this all on you and for killing you. If there is any message that you would like me to give out at this point, I feel this is probably the one and only chance that you would have it.
There's nobody. There was my mother, but I'm not even sure she's still alive.
Well, Ned, I suppose... I will give you also one other thing. What is your actual name, Ned?
It's Tim.
T-
Tim.
Tim Winters.
All right, Tim. As I said, if you would like me to try and relay a message to your mother, I will try.
Okay, thank you.
All right, now back to your silence.
Ned slash Tim immediately shuts off again. He's kind of just got his arms around himself, trying not to have a complete panic attack at having all this dumped on him. Realize now that he's undead again, he's probably not that old. He's probably not yet reached his 20th birthday.
War's a bitch, Ned. War's a bitch. Oh, that actually, I will just wait in the hallway at that point, waiting for Shard to come back. Just my arms crossed over my chest, leaning against the wall.
So Shard, followed by now by the Fire Ganassi, probably doesn't take that long to come across arms folded Oberyn and almost having a panic attack in Ned.
Right. So, do I want to ask who the Fire Ganassi is who is now following you, Shard?
Yes.
Marmalade, I presume?
Yes, this... I know this is, well, not. It's probably the least strange thing you've encountered today. Fire Ganassi Marmalade is oddly awkward compared to her cat self.
Right, right. Well, yeah, at this point you are correct. What do I call you now?
My name is Kindra, but I have no idea how long this is going to last, so if it's easier just to keep using Marmalade, I've grown quite used to it.
Well, Kindra, I have resolved to call Tim over there, Tim, for the rest of this duration. So, Kindra, I do not find this awkward. It is nice to meet you. And I am developing a very serious headache from this entire situation. Shard, why are you clutching that folder so tightly to your chest?
I'm not sure
they might be alive.
It
might be alive.
They've been doing to all of his fucking battalion probably what they did to you, and I'm going to fucking burn something.
I'm gonna unfold my arms and I'm gonna step forward towards Shard, and I'm going to put my hand on their shoulder. I know that the rage you feel right now, believe me, I know it quite well. And we will burn this island to the ground. But I do need you to think, though horrible, they still could be alive. And alive, even in pain, is always better than dead.
I took some other files. There's more information in there. Oberyn, I really recommend you don't touch me right now. I don't want to hurt you. Chad is vibrating in place.
I'll do the classic. Just, I'll keep my hand, like, just, I'll just raise it up. I'll tell you now, once again, we will burn this island to the ground. And I promise you, if Corey is still here, in any way, we will find them. Kindra, Tim, I think it best if we give them a moment. And I will point down the hall to head back towards Charlie and Moira.
Kindra makes her way along. When Ned doesn't move, she kind of, or Tim, should I say, grabs him by the elbow, like, come on, this way, I think we're meant to be going this way. And has to essentially drag him along.
Shard slams their hand through a wall. Or into a wall, because it's not going to go through.
Make me an attack roll quickly.
Flat strength, baby. Oh wow, that went okay. That's a flat 17.
You must have hit a weaker patch of the drywall, because you do leave a rather satisfying dent in it.
still break like three knuckles, but you know.
You take 2 damage, and your knuckles on that hand are all bloodied now.
Fucking kidding me!
At the video projector room, Kendra goes to knock on the door, but then realises there is no door. It's somewhere in the room. And she's still dragging Tim by the elbow. Like, is this... This must be the right room. Hi, everyone? You have seen me before. I'm normally about 1.5 feet tall, ginger fur. Talks about having thumbs, but now that I've actually got them...
Oh! You're the cat!
Yes, hi.
Right. Hi. Hey, Ned.
Apparently his name's Tim. He doesn't seem to want to talk right now.
Right. Why that?
Moira, do not worry about Tim. This moment, this is not the time. Did you get this projector fired up? I'm going to tell you in about, I don't know, at most a few minutes, Shard is going to come in here and they are not in a mood to be trifled with.
Right, open. Moira points at Charlie, who is still standing still, holding the cable with electricity sparking into it, and doing everything going, I did send a message to the chat.
Moira, you know that I have you blocked permanently, and you cannot send me messages at all into my head.
Well then, whose fault is that?
Well, why aren't you already watching the stupid films? I told you I want to get fuck out of this place.
I was here. I was watching what was on the reel. What was on the reel, Jim?
You got to see what almost would make the military look nice. You got to see a marching band in fine uniforms with trumpets. Mostly trumpets. You feel they might have only been able to afford trumpets. Their budget didn't run to anything else.
They spent all the money on second-hand tanks. Right. All we've seen on this tape so far is a brass band, and not the best one.
Great. Well,
to be fair, you've got to start somewhere.
I'm so happy we have spent our time getting a projector working.
Do you have a specific tape to put on it?
Moira, I didn't want to watch the stupid films. You know that. I wanted to leave. Remember when I voted for that?
Hey, first of all, if it's possible, take your voice down an octave? Or has Marmalade got her claws stuck in your groin again?
I did no such thing. Kendra, or Marmalade, looks absolutely scandalized.
Hey.
She's busy maneuvering Tim into a seat. And...
Moira?
Yes.
I swear to God, if you keep talking, I'm going to let Charlie or Shard break you in fucking half next time. Okay? Like, all it would take for me is in that when this door opens and Shard walks in here to say that you saw one fucking thing on this, and they will freak the fuck out. I don't have time for your sass. I want to go. So please stop insinuating things and change the fucking tape to a different one that isn't a fucking band.
Okay, can I look through the tapes that are there and see if there's anything that may be relevant?
There's a whole wall of tapes to choose from. Shard grabbed this one because it had a specific date on it. There's a gap. And the tapes either side of it have similar dates, but you can choose whatever area you want.
Is the one that Shard picked one playing?
Yes.
Okay. Shard asked for this tape. We are leaving this tape on, Oberyn.
I've probably come stalking in with blood pouring out of my hand and a furious expression.
Kendra hides behind Tim.
Hey, Chard.
Just wordlessly walk to the wall, pick up the tape from the last, if it's there, the last date in Corey's folder?
Yeah.
And just kind of switch the reels out, like.
Moira takes a step back just in case.
The beginning of this tape is fairly nondescript. It's just people milling about. And then it cuts over to the laboratory that Charlie found. And Oberyn, you probably recognize the man in the white coat. He's in the background. You can't make out what he's saying, but he is having a furious argument with someone. Also, you'd pick up from the hand gestures and the pointing. And Shard, make me a perception at advantage. It's only on screen for a second, perhaps two. But you see an incredibly familiar tiefling managing to essentially jam his elbow down onto an arm holding him and escape in the background.
That's my boy.
And that's the only clip he's in at this point. The tape carries on forwards, and it's almost as if this one has been spliced together from different ones, as it cuts back to the brass band, but in much lower quality.
So these films have clearly been redacted.
Seems so.
Charlie, can you make me a con save? Because I know Charlie is incredible, but she has been stood there for quite a while doing that.
Sixteen all in.
You're leaning on the wall a bit now, but you're still powering the projector.
You okay, Shard?
I Eldritch Blast Moira.
I cast Counterspell.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It just dispels it, that's all it does. That's a level 3 slot gone, thanks for that.
It was whoever spoke to Shard first was getting blasted.
That's fair.
Shard.
What?
May I see those files that you grabbed, please?
I hand you the blue and the green one, but not the red one.
It's fine. I'm going to turn away from you for a moment. Can I go through the files and I want to see who's signing off the most on things. I've never truly gotten the scientist's name.
Okay. You scroll down the sheet of the green one, and there is a signature on there. It's again in Doctor's handwriting, and it's fairly difficult to make out. The
can
first letter is
on it?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm from a royal family. I've dealt with a lot of people signing shit in ridiculous ways. That is a 21.
There's no first name, and the first initial is an I. And the surname seems rather extravagant, more like a made-up title, as he's apparently dubbed himself the Man with the Silver Claws.
Right, Wolverine.
Can I quickly look through the blue file then and see if it is the same signature?
Yep. Roll me another perception.
That is an 18.
Okay. The scientist was still clearly feeling edgy when he signed this one, as it is just initialed I Silverclaw again. But there's another signature on there. And you recognize it as your father's once more.
I'm going to turn back. I'm going to close the files. Shard, I don't need to see it now. But at some point, I would ask that you let me see the file for Corey.
I just kind of drop the file.
I'd like to retrieve the file from the floor.
Okay.
I'd like to scan it now for my father's signature, as well as to see if it is still I Silverclaw. And also, I would like to check the last page of the file, see if there's any kind of transcript over why there was an argument happening before the video ended.
Okay, roll me investigation.
That is a 19.
Okay. If there was a transcript, it's been lost. You do find your father's signature on this one. And the only difference is where the Silverclaw Edgy Man's signature would be. It says it's still first initial I, but it's written down as Haventone instead.
Haventone?
Yeah.
H-A-V...
E-N.
Alright.
Would Moira be able to read their lips at all? Is it too grainy?
On the tape?
Hmm.
Do you have observant? The observant feet, I meant.
No, I do not.
Then I'm gonna say no.
Okay, that's fine.
The tape in the background has switched again to pictures of a military camp.
Is it this camp?
No, it's not.
Right.
This isn't good.
I don't know how much more information we can glean at this second with the state that some of us are in.
Especially Charlie, are you okay? Moses and Charlie leaning into the wall, sparks coming out of her hand.
Still got them held tightly in one hand as I just lean back on the wall, probably a bit sweaty by now.
We can't put Charlie through much more of this.
Ah, good, I think.
Talking of which, Charlie, make me a quick perception check.
Perception. 17 all in.
Okay. You're kind of more just listening to the conversation, leaning back against the wall, and you happen to glance over at the wall with the projections. And you recognize a half-elf on there. A big, bulky one. He's only on the screen for a split second. I mean, there is a rewind button on this machine, just in case anyone was curious.
Well, I assume there was. I wanted it to play out before I attempted to rewind and do anything.
And subject Shard to repeated trauma.
I was going to say, was there anything else on that image?
It seemed... oddly enough, despite the medium of the tape, like security camera footage of a rather bulky half-elf with quite a big weapon on his back trying to break down a fence.
Sorry, bit worn out. I don't exert myself. I do step in and just hit the rewind button. I'm guessing there's a pause button, isn't there?
Yeah.
Alright, and then pause it on the half-elf, trying to work out where he is.
Unfortunately, the shot is mostly of the fence, which is made of metal. It's got barbed wire running all along the top of it. You can't really tell much else about it.
I take it it's Charlie's brother, isn't it?
I mean, technically Charlie has two.
I take it's Charlie's blood brother.
Yes.
I don't even know where that is. I point back to tape. Just one lazy hand because I'm tired. That's my brother. Don't know where that is, so.
Have another brother?
Yes. Charlie didn't actually mention Nathaniel. To be
no, fair. But you, I'm pretty sure you've mentioned Samuel at some point before.
Sam is his name. Samuel for his proper name, but you both went on shorter names coming here. Don't know where he is, though. I haven't seen him in years.
How old is this? This was 2 years ago.
It's hard to tell. This has clearly been spliced together from different sections of tapes, but there's nothing saying they all come from the same time.
Who would create such a thing? Why would someone create such a thing?
You said this was pictures of a military base, right? That this was flashing through?
Right before the fence, yes.
As it's like going through, since Charlie already stopped it anyways, can we rewind it back to the beginning when it started this and see, is there any, there should be like some kind of signage that says, like, if it's a picture of a military base, it's, you know, expected, gotta show a sign at some point.
Okay. So the tape rewinds back, and anyone who's looking for signage, make me a quick perception, please.
That is a crit 20, so that's a 31.
I only got an 11.
Perception or investigation?
Perception.
Okay, then in that case, then at 22.
Okay. So, Oberyn and Moira are obviously on high alert at this point. Charlie, you see some signs, but you're tired from keeping this projector going, and you see the signs that say things like, barracks this way. This is a toilet. Moira, you see a few, shall we say, I wouldn't say interesting ones, but you're focused enough that you can read the plates on the front of the vehicles. And Oberyn, there is a sign roughly saying where the camp is on a map. It's incredibly blurry and hard to see. But as the camera moves somewhat awkwardly just for a moment, you can see the mountains in the background. As the camera moves, you can see the mountains, and there is a sign declaring the mountains to be the White Wing Mountains.
By wind?
Wing.
I'll stop the tape, like, right when we hit that, like, spot.
Okay.
Well, I don't know exactly if you want to find your brother Charlie, but I would say if you did, this would be the best place to start.
I mean, I've been looking for years, and he just disappeared without a trace. I mean, the island's big, but it's not that big.
Even the smallest place is big enough to get lost if someone wants to lose something.
Well, he's a tough bastard. I'm sure he's still fine.
He may be fine for now, but who knows how long ago that was.
Moira, please. There's being able to put up what you're talking, and then there's you talking too much. And you're just talking too much. Look, I don't know how much longer I can keep power running through this.
On that note, Charlie, make me a con check, please.
Okay, that's not bad. That's a 19 plus 3, so 22.
You almost lose concentration for a moment, but then
just before it's too late, you realize, and tighten your grip around the wires again to keep the projector running.
Charlie, I think we can be done for now. Take a break. We can sit in darkness for a moment.
I let go of the projector cable.
The room is plunged into semi-darkness. Kendra glows a little bit because of her hair.
Sorry, God sees everything.
I don't know how to turn this off, as it were.
Not entirely. I might have a spell for that, but it might kill you, so I won't do that.
Yes, I'd rather you didn't.
So that's why I won't do that.
Charlie mutters to herself, why fucking mention it?
Ned can only see as far as Kendra glows.
Moira hands Charlie some snacks to try and help with their energy levels.
What is a snack?
What is this snack, Moira?
Oh, it just says snacks in my...
Use your imagination. This is what D&D is about.
I would imagine that it would be some form of haversack ration, but not on a level that we would...
I'm going to use my imagination. It's orange slices.
Haversack rations are usually something along those lines, yes.
Moira has somehow bought orange slices. That's kind of a delicacy in where you're all at the moment. So Charlie eats like a queen.
I have more. If you want some, Charge, you may have some.
Chad does not say this out loud.
So Charlie eats like a queen. One of these soldier spirits walks into the room and you notice they all emit a faint glow. And the immediate scenery around them, maybe in only a foot or two radius, changes to match the time where they come from. As when the spirit walks past what was a very tattered poster, it's suddenly clean until they pass it.
What did the poster say?
It was a very generic, if you use the tapes, please put them back, poster. And someone's written underneath, make me.
What is this? Is the soldier doing anything in here, or do you just walk through?
They walk and stand in the corner of the room, just kind of looking about before sitting down on the floor. Almost as if they're trying to be part of the group.
Shard, I know what you're going through right now.
Shut up. Have you held a fucking 5-year-old in your arms as they screamed for their parents as they got ripped apart, and then find out fucking 30 years later that this child has probably been tortured within an inch of his life and you thought he was dead, so don't fucking tell me you know how I feel!
No, Shard, you're correct. I've only watched my elder brother, my younger sister, be tortured in front of me for close to 30 years straight, and then watched as my own flesh and blood brother have his head torn from his body at a slow, slow pace, watching each individual tendon and skin and bone pull apart. But yes, Shard.
I punch Oberyn in the nose. Because this isn't a competition of whose fucking backstory is sadder.
Oberyn takes the punch. I don't even care. Take all the damage you want. He just takes the punch and turns back and stares. Expression unchanging at the anger in Shard's eyes.
Roll an attack roll, Shard.
18. My dice really want to hurt people.
I'm not sure what the damage for someone's fists would be if they're not a monk, but...
D4. Yeah, D4.
Okay.
2.
You do catch Oberyn square on the nose. It hurts, but it's not enough to leave any serious damage behind.
Thankfully, I used my hand that isn't ripped open and bloody.
Oberyn's expression unchanging. I just stare down at Shard. I'm not trying to compete with you, Shard. What I'm trying to do is get you to put your head back on straight so that we can try and find and help your child, if possible. So I know you're angry right now, but what I need from you is to dig down deep and find that sense of resolve I know you have and collect yourself so we can figure out what the fuck we do from here.
Shard gives you a genuine look of disgust because you've essentially told Shard to get over it. You may not have meant it that way, but in the moment you've told a grieving parent that has been told their child may be living a fate worse than death to buck up and get on with it, whilst you've had years to cope with your suffering. And Shard's going to go find the laboratory and see if, because they saw the ghost thing as well, where the ghost thing reflects the time.
Mm. Okay.
So they're going to see if there's a similar thing in the lab.
Before you get up to leave the room, the ghost that was sat in the corner suddenly gives a little gasp and hides underneath a desk that no longer exists. As somebody looks into the room, they motion to push open the door, but obviously there's no door there now. Although you can see it around their hand. They look in, and you can tell from the uniform this is somebody high ranking. So they look around the room. And it's possibly the first time one of the spirits has spoken coherent words around you. Where the fuck is he gone? And then slams the door on the way out, leaving the empty doorway again.
I'm gonna follow that spirit.
Okay. He is actually marching in the direction of the laboratory. And as Shard follows the spirit, the one still in the room looks around from the desk. And you can all see it's a violet-colored tiefling. You can see this one has long horns that stick up, but they've been cut down and blunted off. And when they deem it safe, they get up and escape the room.
Moira's going to follow that one.
Okay. And what are Charlie and Oberyn doing?
How far did these tapes go back?
They go back a good 50 years.
Can I pull the first tape?
Yeah.
The very first one. And then I'm going to turn to Charlie. Charlie, I need to check something here. If you would be so kind.
Uh-huh. I don't get back up off the floor. I just start putting some power through the cables again.
And once more, the projector springs into life. Right, who should we follow first? Since they left first, let's follow Shard. I assume still stalking the furious spirit. They're occasionally stopping.
Just as furious.
Gustus Furious. Sure, that's his name now.
It's a rage hallway. It's a feeling of rage that's all you can feel from like anywhere around that little space.
We'll call this guy Lieutenant Furious.
Lieutenant Bitchy.
He's just smashing open every door he goes past, getting progressively angrier and angrier. Until he reaches the empty hall. So when he storms through there, you can see spirits just scatter. They all seem to be acting of their own timelines until Lieutenant Furious storms through them. He pushes one of them over as he goes past.
Wanker.
And then slams out of the door at the other end of the hall, whilst all the spirits just kind of stare and start muttering between themselves. And he keeps going down towards the room with the retorts. That's where the entrance to the laboratory is. It's convenient to have the cremation station, as it were, right next to where the experiments could go horribly wrong.
And we're all about efficiency here.
And when he gets to the laboratory, the scientist is there, from the tape. But before we go into that, Moira, you're following the terrified violet tiefling.
I am.
Okay. He steals down another corridor
and past an office, kind of pressing himself against the wall and still moving as quickly and quietly as possible, until he gets to a room on the left and turns in.
I will peer around a corner. Even though I know they can't see us, I'm just trying to be stealthy anyway.
You can see him hide behind a box or something that existed in his time, but not in yours. Mm. And you can hear a whispered conversation, but from where you are, you can't quite make out the words.
I creep into the room.
Okay. What languages does Moira speak?
Let me just check my inventory.
Because they are speaking in Infernal.
The only extra language that Moira can speak, apart from Common and Elvish, is Infernal.
There you go, then. You do understand what they are talking about, then. And it's just the whispered conversation. And when you peek behind the box, it's almost like a little gathering of tieflings. You notice they've all had their horns cut down and blunted off, presumably so they can't stab anyone. And the purple one, when he joins the group, we have to find a better hiding place. They're searching everywhere, and if we can't leave, we just have to find somewhere to completely hide ourselves. And then the little pink one, whose horns have been completely removed, there is nowhere. They're going to find us. We found most of the others. His moving on was a lie. What are they moving us on to? For the purple one speaks again. I don't know. But we have to do something. We're dead if we do, and we're dead if we don't. We have to find the others. I know it's a risk, but we have to stick together. And then the spirits get up and they creep past Moira. And as they reach the doorway, they do disappear, as it were.
Disappear.
They just sort of vanish. And Lieutenant Furious, who Shard is following, also vanishes. At roughly the moment, Oberyn changes the tape. So now, back in the tape room with a different tape playing on screen. Oberyn. The first thing that plays on this tape is probably somewhat unsettling, given it's footage from your home that seems like it's been taken discreetly. You know, in the way people have snuck cameras into bags? It's been taken that way. It's not filming anything in particular, but you do see yourself, your brother, and your sister, and your father. The person filming has to keep moving so that their camera isn't staring directly at the back of someone's legs.
Is there any sound on this one?
This one is completely silent. Or at least this clip is.
Is there a fast forward button?
Mm-hmm. You fast forward the tape. And again, it's more creep shot footage, as it were. But this time, it's your father sat at a desk with his head in his hands, looking like a man who's tearing himself to pieces. And it's probably safe to say you know when this was taken. Somebody just talking quietly, saying, "They've taken them. There was nothing we could do. We did our best." And your father doesn't reply. He seems to be in the sort of state, if he says a single word, he's just going to break. It's the posture of a man who's truly had everything stripped from him.
I'd like to stop the tape.
Yep, tape stops.
And I'm just going to stare at it.
What's Charlie doing all this time?
Just watching, really.
You make me a con check, Charlie?
That's a 5.
You can't keep this up anymore, and the power does cut. And you are now at level 1 exhaustion and keeping this running for so long.
Alright.
Once more, the only light in the room is the faint glow from Kendra's hair.
I'm still staring at the where this video was playing the screen. Charlie?
Huh?
You obviously have a family.
I...
Charlie? I don't know what we are going to do next. We have to help Shard find their child, or what remains of their child. And I don't believe they're going to be happy with me for a very long time. I'm seeing my father up there on the screen and seeing what my disappearance did to him. I don't know if I care. I want them angry. I want them full of rage. So, Charlie, if you need our help to find your family, I will burn this island down to do it.
Thank you. Obviously, keep my word at the bargain and help find this scientist, whoever he is.
Havington, I believe would be his name.
Does the name ring a bell to me? I just might as well check.
What's the best way to run? I'm going to run this as a history check because it's in the past.
Oh. That's flat. I think my history is flat. Wherever. Yeah, it's flat. But it's a flat 15.
You think back, and it sounds somewhat familiar, but in nothing you can recall relating to you.
What was the name again?
It's the name that's, well, he signed his name very dickishly multiple times, but the name I can gather from these files seems to be I. Havington.
I've heard it before, but I can't put a memory or anything to the name. Wouldn't surprise me if my mother knew that was...
Your mother?
Dead. 2 years now. Just me, my brother, and I did want to mention this, but haven't had the chance to. The very smiley guy who we met in the caves. That's my half-brother, apparently. I met him just before the fight.
You mean the one who sicked those odd jester constructs on us?
That one, yeah. Don't know what was going on with him then, but he didn't seem like the same person who met.
Alright.
I was a bit surprised by it, and I didn't really know what to say, to be honest. But all I can say is he didn't seem the same as he did in the caves.
Charlie, if you wish, I will assist you in finding them as well, I suppose.
I mean, having Sam's help burning the island, that would be good. There's not a lot he couldn't fucking burn down.
I do agree that, honestly, I do believe our next course of action should be to head to that military base, at least where the last picture of your brother was taken that we know of.
Yeah, I get back up off the floor. This room, these tapes, do we destroy it or do we leave it here for the next person to watch?
Well, Charlie, if I were to have my way, I would burn this entire place to the ground, this room included.
Yeah, I've seen all the shit that I've seen. I just grab the projector and fucking launch it at the wall.
Jesus. Make me a strength check. This thing is quite bulky.
Natural 20.
Anything to add to that?
20 athletics.
Yeah, we'll call it an athletics.
26.
Oh, dear lord. Charlie picks up the projector as if it weighed nothing and easily just launches it at the wall where the tapes were projected. It doesn't shatter, but it makes a deafening crash that Moira and Shard can definitely hear from their respective spots.
Oh, God.
Ned falls off his... Or Tim, should I say, nearly falls off his chair. He's been staring at his feet the entire time.
Oberyn, should we get going? See if we can find the others.
I would suggest so.
I just... It's a table... Actually, I don't even bother. I just, like... Yeah, I ignore the table. I was going to break it to make it look like it fell, but I'll leave the table be.
I mean, I like Charlie's logic, but given the projector is now sort of half in the wall, that would be a pretty awesome fall.
It's just like stuck in the wall.
It's now a wall-mounted projector.
Like Captain America's shield, I'm guessing.
Pretty much. So, Shard, are you in the laboratory, which is roughly where the ghost of Lieutenant Furious vanished?
Yes, Shard would probably walk to the spot where they saw that glimpse of Corey.
It is in what seems to be like a large cage at one end of the room, and whilst it would be hard to escape from this when you were cornered, if you know what you're doing, it is possible. Can you make me a quick investigation check?
Clearly all that hunting training they had came in helpful. 18.
As you walk over to the spot, you stand on a loose floorboard.
Can I kind of lever it up?
Yeah, it comes up easily. And although there are more floorboards locking it in place, there is a staircase.
I send a very short just picture of it to the group message.
Shard
like no comment, no like explanation, just a picture of it.
What lies at the end of the staircase? Well, you'll just have to find out next time. This podcast was brought to you by me, Kerry, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Matt Attack Productions.